This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Junkies and Flunkies, welcome back to the NWA Saturday Special. I'm your co-host, Dr. G. George Robolino. Got to get used to all these names I have, but the main name is the Doctor. But I can't do this alone. We got some great stuff to talk about. The thing that we have to talk about is the thing that we're excited about being back, and that is NWA Power. But I can't do this alone. Got to bring in my co-host. He is the podfather of this great Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network, and that's Scott Criscolo. Good evening, or good morning, I should say.
I don't know. I feel like the PTB pod doormat right now. So, you know, I usually know that I, you know, talk quite a bit, but I think I'm just going to vamp and let you do everything tonight. So. You might hear me chewing or snoring, but no, that's not true. Hello. And hello, PTB Wrestling Network fans. Welcome to this week's episode of the special. I always get excited by the end of the week, if I have any energy left after 5 days of hell, to talk about NWA Power.
I think we both had one of those weeks this week.
Power.
Basically. Had to do 2 months of work in 2 days, so the question is,
who had the worst week? The Podfather, the Doctor, or Trevor Murdoch? It's pretty much a three-way tie. We'll talk about that.
Yeah.
Of course, NWA Power, the 23rd episode total. Of course, the second episode since coming back from the vid.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, we spoke last week. We enjoyed last week's episode, but I think definitely things picked up here. And
yes,
in week two of the I guess you can't say after COVID because we're still going through it, but I don't know.
I wouldn't even say a reboot, just like a, I guess the next chapter, I guess, or the reboot, I guess. Right. It's not really a reboot per se, but.
But it's my favorite number, episode 23. And you know what? It was a good one.
It was. I think after a week of just kind of getting our bearings again, the storylines and the creative really, the ripcord was pulled this past week. So why don't we hop?
Yeah, it's got that old NWA feel, you know.
It really did.
I know that people don't want to hear that, and some people get tired of hearing, you know, comparing things to the past, and you know, but what I've always said about this new NWA is it's got a little of that new school mixed with the or I would say current day product mixed with the old school ways. Mm-hmm. And again, simple storylines that you can repeat in wrestling. It's happened for since wrestling's been around. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you just use different faces, but it works if you do it and you execute correctly. And as we will speak about tonight, I think things are being executed in a really, really good way, in a good, interesting way. Because I tell you, I don't know, the little bit that I was on social media this week, because like you said, we've had a hell week at work, both of us. I definitely saw a lot more excitement after this episode than the first episode back.
Mm. Yeah, I agree. And I think there's still some wrinkles being ironed out, but I made an observation that I want to talk to you about when we get to the end of the episode, but I'm seeing something that I haven't seen in a long time creatively from somebody, and this person is channeling a character style that is very hard to, that I think is very hard to emulate. But we'll get to that at the end of the show. All right, so let's jump in. We don't have really much in the way of news or notes from around the NWA. Pretty much powers the news. So why don't we hop in? It is, this was from this past Tuesday, March 30th, on Fight TV is when it premiered. We begin with the our usual three, Joe Galli and Tim Storm and Velvet Sky. Although I have noticed, Doctor, and we'll talk about it as this week as the episode progresses, I feel like that third seat is going to be more of a rotating thing. It's not going to be, I think Velvet Sky is going to be one of the more consistent ones, and she was a little better this week. But I feel like that third seat's going to be more of a rotating thing based on whatever match is going on at that moment. And I noticed that this week.
I agree. You know, before we jump into this, the one thing I'm really excited about, I don't know if I really totally mentioned it last week, and I'll mention it this week. I love that they brought back the Into the Fire song to start off the program. I don't know. It's just something about when you, you know, I actually finally got to watch it today. A little later than I wanted to, but just like I said, because of the week, and just got me so jacked up when I listened to that song.
Yeah, I agree.
To the fire, and you just, the video production, oh, just great. I love it.
Yeah, I think the reason they changed it, I think, is because at the time in 2019, they had named a pay-per-view Into the Fire, so they changed that Pantera song. They probably will never have a pay-per-view named Into the Fire again if they're going to go back to that song, which is fine. Anyway, so we open. It is Joe Galli, Tim Storm, and Velvet Sky. And we go right to the commentary desk, and Kyle Davis is with our national treasure, our world's heavyweight champion, Nick Aldis, who has reached 900 days as heavyweight champion. Of course, he won it back from Cody back in October of 2018 at the 70th anniversary show. And he says he's got an issue. He's got something bothering him. He's got a condition, and that condition is winning. That was a good fucking heel slide right there.
You know, he is just, I mean, you know, you could tell he's like chomping at the bit to get on the stick, because I think he's doing some of his best work in this episode. Woo.
Yeah.
I love it.
And I'll get more into my analysis that I wanted to bring up about character
he's
development.
He's just so arrogant. We'll get to that later. I love it.
Yeah, we'll get to that later to my analysis. But yes, absolutely. He talked about Chris Adonis last week. He says Chris Adonis is not in Strictly Business. They just, you know, he helped out last week. They know they got to keep recruiting. They don't openly mention Royce Isaacs, but obviously that's why they're short a guy. All of a sudden, out walks our national champion, Trevor Murdoch. Who gets in Nick Aldis's face and starts jaw-jacking with him. And Aldis just very calm, talks back. And then out of the blue, more dastardly tactics from Chris Adonis, who jumps Trevor Murdoch from behind. And for the second time in, almost 2 weeks, he beats the shit out of Trevor Murdoch. And Murdoch has to be carried out. I don't remember if it was a stretcher, but he had to be carried out. So Chris Adonis clearly wants that national championship, and he's going to rough up Trevor Murdoch as much as possible to do that. So I like the opening promo. Aldis is just getting better and better and better and better and better. And he's always got this aura about him and Murdoch is a good babyface, and I felt like also, Doctor, and I'm going to look forward to when we start getting more crowd, you know, more actual fans. The ancillary noise was not as annoying this week as it was last week.
No, they did a good job, because they did old school, so you could tell they were really getting on all this rather than making him, you know, this, you know, quasi heel face kind of thing, like mm-hmm. how Flair used to be sometimes in the 80s. Mm-hmm. They were trying to you know, draw the line in the sand, who are the heels and who are the faces. Doesn't mean that people like us are still not going to love all this, but I like what they were trying to do there. And yes, the crowd wasn't as annoying. It kind of went along with what they were trying to do with the storylines, but it does add something. It's better than having a silent, like it was with the UWN shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, this, it was just,
Yeah.
All you could hear was the announcers and that was it.
Yeah. I don't think a good episode of Power was going to work with an empty building. That wasn't going to fly. Next up, we get a promo, and then Mae Valentine is with our world's tag team champions, Kratos and Aaron Stevens. Stevens talks about, they look like they're a little more on the same page. They don't really get into what happened last week. But he says, things are different, but we're still tag team champions and we're still going to truck along. But I like it. And Kratos,
I like what they're doing there.
Yeah. What do you think?
Because they're drawing it out. It's not going to be, okay, Kratos is going to turn on Aaron Stevens this week. No, they're going to build to it like they did back in the old days, where you just planted this seed every week. Kind of like, one of the best storylines of all time, the way they did it, was Savage and Hogan.
Well, the Mega Power storyline is top three all
time. The Mega Power storyline. Yeah. It's phenomenal, and if they could do that with this storyline, listen. We know eventually those two are going to break up. Come on, we're not stupid. We obviously as they call them today, the smart fans. But you could still sometimes get away from that. Okay, we know kayfabe is broken and all that. Sometimes you could get a storyline that'll still get you sucked in, and I think they could do that with this storyline. Just draw it out a little bit. See how it goes over the weeks. You're doing a weekly show, that you don't have to do this all in one shot. So I like it. I like that. I was wondering what they were going to do, and I was actually smiling when I saw that they didn't try to do something right away there. They're just going to, little by little, plant the seed.
Right. And so Aaron Stevens is talking, and then out comes Mae Valentine's little pygmy pseudo-boyfriend, whatever he is, Sal Renaro, who says that he wants... And, of course, Kratos looks like he's about to beat the shit out of him. And Aaron Stevens says, no, let him in. And Sal Renaro wants a world's tag team title match. He wants a shot. And Kratos looks at him like, please, I could fold you up and put you in my pocket. But Stevens is like, all right, you got a lot of balls coming out here with your shitty fucking mullet or whatever the hell you got. Fuck it. Next week, episode 24 of Power, get a partner and we'll do it. So next week on the show, we will have a world's tag team title match.
Yeah. It should be interesting to see who he picks. But, Scott, the one thing I have to say in all this, and like I said, I like what they're doing with the Kratos, Aaron Stevens, but Aaron Stevens is so much better as a heel. He really is.
He's
kind of a little bland without being heel, but we'll see. We'll see how they do with this storyline and see how it goes over the weeks. And I think it's purposely the way they're making his character right now, because he did – lose somebody he was really close with, obviously, in the question mark, or Josephus. So I think that's why they're doing this right now, but I want to see how it plays out, because he was phenomenal, when he was doing the whole third degree national champion, being obnoxious. He's really good at that, but I just wanted to mention that part. I don't know you're better than me at this. You're guessing everything and you're guessing right the 95% of the time. So I have no idea who he'll pick for his partner.
I'm trying to think of guys that are kind of hanging around right now that aren't really doing much. I mean, my underdog pick, which I think would be kind of cool, would be my man. You know who I'm thinking of.
It's the Slice.
Little Slice Boogie could be Sally. A little underdog action, maybe. We'll see.
That's a guy.
I'm thinking of. He wasn't on this week, but that's okay. You don't want the same people on every week. I'm trying to think of guys floating around. It could be anybody. Tim Storm.
Slice was on this week.
No, he was. You're right.
Slice was the first match.
Oh, it was the first match. Why did I think he wasn't? Wow. I need my P. Wow. Join us.
You are having a
North-South connection. Is this the North-South Connection podcast? I don't even know what the fuck's going on. Anyway,
who?
Let's jump in. First match, Slice Boogie, who I thought wasn't on. I just booked him out of the show. No, Slice Boogie. Speaking of, takes on Jeremiah Plunkett. Is that like Jim Plunkett? It would have been cool if you walked out with a Raiders jersey on. It would be kind of cool. Anyway, Jeremiah Plunkett took on Slice Boogie in our opening match, and Slice Boogie is just one of those guys that hustles. He just hustles. Like, he just, you know, he doesn't have a...
I tell you the truth, I'm becoming more and more impressed with him. This Jeremiah Plunkett, I do, you know, did you notice, like, Tim Storm, oh, I wrestled him. Like, they really try to build him up. You know how, like, it kind of reminds you back to the 605 days, you know, back to the old show where they would, you know, build up and tell Mike Jackson's, you know, biography.
Rocky
of,
King.
You know, and, being,
Danny
you
Brown.
Know, those guys. So, yeah. To make them sound like, you know, they're more than just...
pretty faces.
Enhancement talent.
Right.
You know, that they so I like how they tried to sell, like, how tough Jeremiah Plunkett was. So when Slice Boogie did beat him, you know, it looked like he was, you know, going over a real credible opponent. And again, right. Maybe, you know, I don't – he could be big on the indie circuit. I have no idea, to be honest with you. But Slice – I'm impressed with Slice, though.
Yeah.
I like the pal driver. You don't see that much today.
No, you don't. And tonight it's a cradle one, so I like the way he sets it up. And it was a good match. It was a good little sprint. I don't have times. I should probably go to Cage Match and see if they have times for the show. Yeah, I was. I'm enjoying watching him over and over. I really am. He's working hard. He's, you know, he's doing his best.
Getting a Slice Boogie T-shirt, in other words.
I hope so. The store's got to open. Okay. Oh. Cage Match has it. Your match time was 4:44 for that match. So
okay, I was going to say about 5 minutes.
Yeah,
look at that.
4:44.
The doctor knows.
See, the doctor knows. So Slice Boogie keeps winning. Keeps winning, man. Keeps winning. We go to break. We come back. And I want to apologize. I did not mention this last week, and I forgot, and I'm sorry, and I'm going to do it again. I'm going to mention it this week. When the Pope was cutting his promo last week, our world television champion, he was interrupted by the Universal Heartthrob Austin Idol.
You're going to take blame. I'll have to take blame for not bringing it up with you. So
Tyrus.
We're both to blame.
So Tyrus is being managed by Austin Idol. And so Tyrus is a full-blown heel. So, and he interrupted the Pope last week. Just wanted to mention that. But Tyrus is back this week for his first power match as he takes on Matthew Mims, who wasn't a small guy. He was probably a solid 260, I think, 255. He wasn't a tiny guy. Tyrus... starts bullying, you know, Galley and all those guys, and Tim Storm. Tim Storm is the John Cena of the NWA. He's like, Velvet, you don't want to get involved. I would get up. It's getting very dangerous. You should leave. He's so proper. So Velvet Sky leaves, and Austin Idol takes his seat, and Tyrus goes in the ring and roughs up Matthew Mims and wins the match in 3:50. I have a couple of
I really like Austin Idol, though.
Oh, I like the look. It's another old school thing. We got actually like a manager. We have managers now, you know, little Paul Jones kind of action going on.
You know what's
funny?
I didn't think Tyrus would, you know, because, you know, if you've ever seen him on Fox, he could talk. I mean, it's not like he can't talk, but maybe, you know, again, just because he could talk about that kind of stuff doesn't mean he could do it in the wrestling business. But I think Austin Idol's a perfect manager. For Tyrus. And I love how, you know, he's being questioned that, you know, he's also managing Nick Aldis. That's the interesting thing.
Yeah,
he said
he's actually managing Nick Aldis. And, like, that's actually happening.
Yeah, so there's something going on there. But you're going to see Aldis, and this is another thing, and I know you want to talk probably a little bit more about this at the end of the show. Maybe this is something you're going to say, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But what I like about Nick Aldis, they're going to involve him in multiple storylines like Ric Flair used to be. Back in the 80s, you know, Ric Flair was going against the Russians on one aspect, you know, when it was Nikita and Ivan. But then he was also dealing with, you know, Dusty and Magnum. Mm-hmm. And then he'd be in another storyline. You know what I'm saying? Like he would mm-hmm. Then he'd be in a storyline with Buddy Landell. So he could you're going to see I think you're going to see Nick Aldis, and, you know, so there's something going on there with Austin Idol. But again, just planting the seed. It's not going to be a total focus and then everything's going to happen in 1 week. They're going to do it over multiple weeks until probably the next pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Right. It was a little bit about what I was going to talk about with Aldis, but it's more of a complete package. But that's an aspect of it. So I'll get more into that.
Yeah, we could wrap that up later.
Tyrus needs to fucking hit the treadmill. I mean, he's a mess. He's huffing and puffing, and he's way too slow. He needs to get a little cardio going because he's looks like he's hurting in the ring. And I just wanted to last
again. Bad.
No, make your point. I was going to change to another topic, but if you have good.
No, I think what it comes to Tyrus, and this goes for anybody, even somebody that is slim and in good shape. When you have ring rust and you're not in that, you know, that kind of cardio is totally different from anything else you're doing. You could still be in phenomenal shape and still think you're in ring shape and you're not. So it's going to take time. He definitely needs some more ring time to get that ring rust and to be able to get that cardio, because he used to wrestle at that weight. So it's not like it's something new. It's just that he just hasn't done it in a while.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just want to let Randy, I just want to let Austin, I don't know. There is only one Manster, and he's retired, and he wore number 54 for the Dallas Cowboys. There's only one Manster. So slow your roll with your fucking wig or whatever you're wearing. In any event, Tyrus, but he's a good heel manager. Tyrus gets the win over Matthew Mims to continue kind of his build. We get an interview. We go back to after a break. We come back and we're at the table with Kyle Davis, who's with our world television champion, the Pope, and the number one contender for the world television title, Fred Rosser. Of course, Fred won the triple threat last week. That match was supposed to happen tonight. It is not. That match has been bumped a week because we have another title match that has been added to the card, Doctor. So a little dipsy-doo dunkaroo here. We'll get to what that is at the end of the show. So next week on episode 24 of Power, we will have the Pope and Fred Rosser for the World Television
Title. Wow, two title matches next week.
Yeah. Yes. Fred says, and Fred tells the Pope, I don't need the 605. Wow. And then Pope's channeling his inner Dusty right now in his promos right now. He's on fire. So there's a schedule change. The scheduled world television title match between the Pope, Elijah Burke, and Fred Rosser has been moved to next week. So this coming Tuesday, episode 24 of Power, we will have our world TV title match. Let's go to the ring for a tag team match, women's tag team match. But Velvet Sky's not back though. Melina sits in the seat, and Melina's got obviously some promo chops, so something a little different there. Of course, Melina's involved still with the storyline with Thunder Rosa about wanting to kind of get back together, kind of thing, and you know, professionally. So our match is Thunder Rosa and Alex Gracia, who was the wrestler that took a beating from Camille last week, against two women's wrestlers that I think are part of Thunder Rosa's promotion in Mexico. Their names were Sky Blue and Genocide, who is this tall, like she had. Remember, I was mentioning about there was a picture on Twitter, and it was this woman's wrestler with like silver face paint. And she was like awesome. Yep. She had this intimidating. Well, that's who Genocide is. But it's Jenna, J-E-N-N-A, side, Genocide. And Sky Blue against Alex Gracia and Thunder Rosa. So Melina's on commentary. And again, I think this was an exhibition with some of Thunder Rosa's wrestlers from her promotion in Mexico. It was a fun little snug sprint. Workers that know each other. So it was very comfortable. Your match time was, they had a decent amount of time, 6:48. Until all of a sudden, in comes Camille, who just crushed Rosa with a spear, and that ended the match. So Thunder Rosa and Alex Gracia won by DQ, technically, but she clearly wasn't helping Sky Blue and Genocide. She just wanted to get another move in on Thunder Rosa. That feud is not finishing, and I am very happy about that. So Thunder Rosa rolls out of the ring.
Oh, great.
Melina helps her up. Camille does that awkward thing with her fucking hand still that she's got to stop doing. But meanwhile, standing behind her, pretty much the same height, and I think bigger, is Genocide. So Camille turns around. She keeps backing up while she's jacking with Melina and Thunder Rosa. Bumps into Genocide, turns around, and once again does that awkward, weird hand thing she does. But Genocide is even with her and was not backing down. So your thoughts on the match, Doctor? And my second question is, I think I found one of my new favorite wrestlers because I love Genocide. I think we need another kind of babyface women's wrestler that's kind of got the build that can kind of go eye to eye with Camille, because Camille thinks she's the big shit on the block right now. And so what are your thoughts? What were your thoughts on the match and the whole post-match with Camille?
Well, the match was actually done pretty well. I thought that they you could tell that Thunder Rose has worked with these women before. You know, like, there was good chemistry in the ring. Now, it was a little snug at times, which which I like. And I did enjoy Camille coming out, though, in mid-match. You knew she had to come out at some point.
Right.
And then having Genocide, you know, kind of stare her down, somebody that's just as big. Again, starting and creating all these different storylines. I love it. You don't need to just, you know, sometimes there's little swerves here and there just to, you know, because you would think that, okay, you know, Camille's out there, you know, Thunder Rosa's space in that team, that, you know, that obviously that Genocide wouldn't be, you know, obviously she was pissed that she lost the match because of Camille, but you would think, okay, well, here, you know, let's take these two women out now. You know, it's, I'm on your side, and they didn't do that. So I kind of like that. I just like the whole role that I like the way they're playing out the whole scene here in terms of Camille is pretty dominant, but now we're gonna say, you know what, there's some opponents. We're kind of sick and tired of you now. Now we're gonna somebody's gonna stand up now. Now, could Genocide be a long term person that Camille's going to work with? I don't know. But, you know, is Genocide going to say, you know, are they going to talk about Thunder Rosa training some of these people? I don't know if they're going to do that on the actual show. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't know if it's going to be, you know, or is it going to be a swerve? Genocide looks like she wants to go after Camille, but then, you know, she kind of sides a little bit with Thunder Rosa, but then in the end, she kind of turns on Thunder Rosa after Thunder Rosa thinks that she has her own side. You know, like, there's so many different ways you could go with this. You know what I'm saying? Which is good. It's fun to fantasy book, I guess. You know, being able to do that again and have some fun with it. But either way, I hopefully they'll do it the right way, and we'll get some enjoyment out of it. What do you think? What do you think they're going to do with this Genocide? Do you think she's going to be a part of the equation, or is she just a little part, you know, in this whole feud? Where, and then it's eventually going to lead to Thunder Rosa and Camille facing off again.
Well, I think I think she's going to stay a babyface, because I feel like all we're doing here is booking like 800 heels and no babyfaces. Because in the NWA, everybody looks like a good heel. They definitely need. They need to beef the women's division, since we had a big exodus during the break. You know, we lost Marty Bell, we lost Allison Kay. So they need to rebuild the women's division. And I think Genocide could be, if she doesn't talk and is like a silent killer, you know, I think that could be something they could build on. She obviously, you know, is probably relatively new to the business, so she needs kind of her hand held a little bit, but she looks like one that, like Camille, already has the foundation of a big, strong, intimidating worker that, you know, maybe just needs some tweaking in some of the other intangibles. But this is going to lead eventually to Thunder Rosa.
Well, Camille needs some work, too, so you're really going to, you know.
Yeah, and I also think, don't forget, there's a lot of you know, we have a lot of things in the hopper, because we have to wait for Serena Deeb to come back from her knee surgery and her, you know, her recovery. So we're talking about all these number one contenders, but we can't forget about the women's world champion, Serena Deeb, who's obviously. Now, I think she's a placeholder. Someone's going to be women's champion in this promotion within the next few months. As you know, Serena Deeb is an AEW employee. So I think the champion has to be somebody that's going to be on power like every week and be. So I'm curious. I'm very curious to see how this plays out with Camille just taking the belt. Thunder Rose is hanging around, which I think is awesome. I don't know if she was on Dynamite this week. I didn't watch, but I do think Genocide is one that I think they'll pluck. She's probably gonna go back to the promotion to Thunder Rose's territory that she runs down in Mexico and keep that going. But she'll be around. I don't think they would have wasted time for Camille to bump into her and go eyeball to eyeball with her if they care. They could have those two could have just left the ring, and they could have just stayed with Camille jacking with Thunder Rosa and Melina. So the fact that they took the time
that's why I was wondering if it was going to be Genocide going, Thunder Rosa kind of taking Genocide under her wing, and then eventually Genocide turning on Thunder Rosa.
Yeah, I think so, but not for a long time down. I think we need some baby faces. I think she'll be a baby face for a while as long as Camille is a heel. Because you can't have two.
Camille is awesome as a heel, though.
She is. I mean, but she's got to stop she's got to stop the whole hand waving thing. She looks like an idiot. It's like one of those Kenny Omega issues where you don't know what to do with your hands. Stop throwing the hands up like you're like being all hey, oh, hey. Like she looks very awkward. She needs to cut that out. It's like Kenny Omega doesn't know what the fuck to do with his hands either. But anyway, it was a good segment. It was a good overall segment to build the women's division and keep it going. And because again, without Serena Deeb right now, you need to kind of build the other players before we can bring the champion in and see what goes from there. So we come back and it's time for our main event, the match that replaced our TV title match that was originally supposed to be the Pope against Fred Rosser, which we mentioned a moment ago, will be on this coming week's show. Trevor Murdoch has decided he's so pissed off at Chris Adonis, I want him tonight. So in our main event, Trevor Murdoch is putting up his national championship against Chris Adonis in a no disqualification match. I know where this is going. Nick Aldis, once again, goes on commentary, and him and Tim Storm have some words. That feud, I think, will never, until somebody's retired, that feud will always be there. That kind of begrudging, maybe respect, maybe not respect between Nick Aldis and Tim Storm. I don't think that's ever going to go away, and I like that because I love Tim Storm.
Yeah, me too.
So, but Adonis, Jesus, dude, would you stop wearing your 2006 Chris Masters tights? I love how they announce him as the masterpiece Chris Adonis. It just sounds dumb. He needs a new nickname. Murdoch comes out with a neck brace. When I saw him walk out with a neck brace, I knew exactly where this was going. I did have the match was fine. I think your time was not a long match. 4:44 again. I feel like that's arbitrary cage match. But I got to be honest, and most of the match was Chris Adonis beating the shit out of Murdoch's neck. Obviously, he came out with a neck brace on. I got to be honest with you, though. If they're going to do a no DQ stip, use the no DQ stip. Wrestle around the ring. Hit people with, hit each other with something. They didn't do that.
Yeah, if you're going to put a stipulation, I agree with you. It's the first thing I thought of. When he came out with the neck brace, I said this is going to be a squash. That basically Adonis is going to beat the hell out of Murdoch and, do his thing. And he did. I mean, I have to say Adonis has the great, that total heel attitude, almost kind of like that Randy Orton-ish kind of heel nature going on. So they're building him up properly. I agree with you with the tights and calling them the masterpiece, but they're just trying to use a little name recognition, I guess, from his WWE days.
Yeah,
honestly, you should have just had a regular match. If you were planning to do what you were doing, just have a regular match. Why is it no DQ?
Yeah, it reminds me, of course,
WCW in 2000.
Right, one of the worst examples of this. And this is me saying this, was WrestleMania 25's main event when Triple H was defending the WWE title against Randy Orton, and it was a no DQ match, and there were no weapons, no nothing. They barely wrestled outside, so it was a waste. That match is getting overshadowed by Taker and Shawn anyway, so, but that's another discussion for another day. So he beats the shit out of the neck. Adonis puts Murdoch in the master lock. He's fighting. But eventually he lifts the arm three times and it drops three times. And Chris Adonis is your new NWA national champion. Nick Aldis celebrates. Out comes Tom. Now, here's the interesting thing. Out comes Camille and out comes Tom Latimer. And then Nick Aldis and Strictly Business celebrates with the new national champion as we go off the air. So even though Nick Aldis said over and over again Chris Adonis is just an associate, there may be more to this than meets the eye. But again,
definitely,
we're talking about Nick Aldis, who's damn good at what he does. Your thoughts on the match and the end of the show? And Nick Aldis, here's what I wanted to say, Doctor.
Well, here's the deal. When it comes to this, like we were saying, if you're going to put a no DQ stipulation, do something with the DQ. Even if it was, Adonis doing something to win that, like when with a no DQ, some kind of cheating way or something that you wouldn't be able to do if it was a regular match. They did none of that. They made him dominant, which is fine. What they did, I have no problem of how Adonis won the championship. But why did you put the no DQ stipulation? So, again, everybody kind of thinks, yeah, these are NWA fanboys, but we're going to call out the things that, maybe we didn't think was proper in this what they were trying to accomplish. So
sure.
I definitely, didn't understand that. Adonis, they're building him to be a super monster heel. Like I said, kind of a Randy Orton-ish type character. Mm-hmm. And he's actually doing a pretty good job. I really cocky, just the whole deal. I'm the man and beat the hell out of the champion. And this feud obviously is not going to be over. So I think you'll see some good matches. Murdoch's a good hand in the ring. And Adonis has improved in recent years. And so, I the match I had no problem with. I understand where they were going with it. I just didn't understand the no DQ. So that's, and the whole thing with an associate of Strictly Business, there's definitely more to that. So there's a little storyline there. Is Chris Adonis a really associate? Is he going to be a member of Strictly Business? So again, stuff, great food for thought, great way to keep the interest. So what's going to happen next week on Power? That's what you want. You want people to tune in every week. So here we go. I'm ready for next week already.
I am as well. Nick Aldis, this is what I wanted to talk about. Nick Aldis is you actually kind of took a lot of what I was going to say from earlier. So, and that's fine. Nick Aldis is definitely channeling his inner 85, 86 Ric Flair. He sits there and he's very calm and he's trying to give compliments to the faces, they're all backhanded compliments. He's really just insulting everybody. And he kind of was throwing his jabs at Tim Storm. And
kind of reminds me of you.
It does. I'm the master of the backhanded compliment. and he's just, he knows now. And I think, and I have to say, he's a student of the game. That I have to say about Nick Aldis. But I also think he has spent this time, not wrestling due to COVID. He had a couple matches, of course, the match with Bennett, and then he wrestled Pillman's son back in December. But I feel like he has spent most of this time talking to Billy and really working out what his character should be and how we're going to play this out. And I think right now he is channeling what a good heel world champion at the top of a promotion needs to be. And I agree with you. I think we're going to see him a lot on Power, kind of intermingling himself in feuds, even if he's just doing commentary and sticking his nose where it doesn't belong. I think that you're going to see that from him. I think Nick Aldis is totally invested in this promotion. I don't think he's going to go to AEW. I don't think he's going to go to WWE. I don't think he's going to go anywhere. He is invested with Billy.
I mean, and if he were to go to those companies again, it would be because for some reason the NWA just wasn't able to sustain. That's right. That's the only way you would see right. him.
Yep.
But other than that, he's working hard behind the scenes. He's kind of like how Tommy Dreamer was in ECW, you know, kind of the jack mm-hmm. of all trades. I think Nick Aldis is really doing more than just wrestling as the NWA World Champion. I think he's working behind the scenes with Billy, helping book the shows, helping probably mm-hmm. with just about anything at this point.
Well, his name's in the credits. See this as is Aaron
promotion
Steve.
Succeed.
Yeah, they're both on the credits. When you watch the power credits, both him and Aldis' names are on there. So they're definitely doing stuff. So there's
well, listen, these guys have a lot of experience,
yep.
you know, coming from other companies. And, you know, why not use it? I mean, Trevor Murdoch, you know, he had a successful little run in WWE. He knows
yeah,
what
absolutely
it
did.
Takes to be successful. Mm-hmm. So, and he's doing a great job as well.
Yep. No, he absolutely
really
is.
All the former WWE/Impact stars are doing are, you know, their name, household names that they're trying to resurrect their careers. You know, it's kind of like, you know, in baseball, when these guys try to go into these independent leagues, and occasionally you have a small percentage that actually get back to the major leagues again. Not Darryl to say Strubber. That NWA is a independent league per se, but they're not up there with AEW and WWE. So, I feel that, these guys all want to resurrect their careers again. They want to be that household name again. So in order to do that, they have to work their way back up. And I think this is a perfect place for them to do it. And Nick Aldis, like I said, he's making that championship seem to be just as much, if not better, than the WWE and AEW world championships.
Mm-hmm. And the fact, the stability that he's held it for almost 900 days, which he made a point to say many times, which is awesome too.
Yes.
So yeah, no, he's mm-hmm. he's definitely anchoring his company right now. Yeah. So there's your.
I find it hard pressed to find anybody out there that's a fan of the new NWA and say that they don't enjoy watching Nick Aldis, whether you cheer for him or not. But just you got to respect him for right. how he carries himself as the world champion.
Yep. No, I agree. And he's obviously out there, and he's on social media. He's on Twitter, and he's Instagram, and he's pumping the brand up in his own special way. And that's a big deal. So we got a good, episode of Power coming up this coming Tuesday, 6:05.
No doubt.
Fight TV. We have our TV title match, the Pope defending against Fred Rosser. We have a tag team title match as Aaron Stevens and J.R. Kratos will defend against Sal Renaro and somebody. I'm thinking the Boog, yeah. But we'll see.
Could be. Now, I want to tell everybody out there, and listen, Scott and I, we don't make a dime off this, but if you are listening to this and you haven't, you know, ordered your Fight TV subscription to watch Power, if you listen, we know things are tough out there for a lot of people, but if you have that extra $5 a month that you could spare, it's worth it. It really is. I understand that we got the shows on YouTube and I hear all that BS. We understand that, but these guys, you know, people need to make money. And unfortunately, COVID changed the landscape of things, and they have to find some kind of revenue stream, and this is the way they're going to do it. So spend the $5, watch Power. I'm telling you, you're not going to go wrong watching. We look forward to it. This week was just crazy, and we weren't able to watch it right away. But that's what's great about it, because you watch it on demand. Even if you have your subscription, you can watch it at any time you want. You want to watch it at 1:00 in the morning, you watch it at 1:00 in the morning, whenever. And that song's just going to pump you up, because I tell you, I got pumped up when I was listening to it this afternoon. I needed that pick me up, you know, in the middle of the day. And that song just got me going. And I enjoyed, watching it while I was working.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I end the show with it now. So you should get pumped up listening to when our show finishes, and then go right to Fight TV. $5 a month. I mean, seriously. I mean, if you're going to bitch about $5 just for bitching, go fuck yourself. You know? Seriously.
That's what I love about you. Just tell it like it is.
If you're going to bitch about $5 a month, you haven't, then go suck a duck. I mean, really.
Now, if you have an extra $25 or $30, you know, you could always go to TeePublic kicked off an NWA Saturday special. Sure.
If you could spare $100 million, you could send it to our Patreon. We don't have a Patreon. No. TeePublic.com. Type PTBW in the search and get some great stuff. And more stuff is in the works. Talking with my creative guy. So more stuff's in the works. Speaking of the PTB Wrestling Network feed, we have a special three-part series that a bunch of our favorites are doing. There's been a debate, Dr. G, in some of our chats on which is the better WrestleMania. WrestleMania 17 or WrestleMania 19? So a bunch of our PTBers live-watched both and then did some analysis. So it's a three-part series. So just dropping today, Friday, on our network, was part one, where Ben Locke, Callum McDougal, Tim Capel, Logan Crosland, Matt Souza, and Sean Kidd, various a myriad of opinions, watched WrestleMania X7 from April of 2001 at the Astrodome. One of your favorite shows, of course, because your boy won in the main event. But a good show, well, one of my favorites, actually. One of my favorites. So check that out. The guys from It Was a Thing on TV crossed over, Greg, Chico, and Mike. Of course, It Was a Thing on TV is one of our great shows over on the Pop Experience feed. But dropping earlier this week was one of two wrestling-themed episodes that are crossing over to our feed. It was an episode of Quantum Leap, that show with Scott Bakula in the 80s. And he went back to the 50s in the Georgia territory as part of a Russian tag team to prevent his brother from dying in the ring. How about that for fascinating? So check that out. Also, new episode of Talking WCW. Yes, Jenny, Tim, and Greg did Raven, the best Raven matches in WCW. So, and of course, every Sunday, this weekend, of course, tomorrow, if you're listening to this on Saturday, you'll have a morning episode of Chronology and another great episode of Pro Wrestling Love, our good man Marty Sleaze, as they continue their countdown of the best, their favorite matches from Japan in the 2000s. Great stuff this week. New episode of Place Be Podcast this week. Also this week, a new episode of Main Event, as it's going to be earlier this week on Wednesday. Myself, Steve, and Nate, we are doing our, of course, WrestleMania and NXT previews. So, of course, it's WrestleMania week. Obviously, WrestleMania next weekend. So, anything else, Doctor, you'd like to mention before we head on out? Oh, you can check the doctor on Twitter at PTB at Dr. G PTB, and you can follow me on Twitter at PTB Pod Bob. Yep. So that's about it. Nice quick episode.
Great show.
Yes, quick episode. Nice and brisk. We will have an episode next week, even though it is WrestleMania weekend. We will have an episode. And don't forget, next week there's two Twitch feeds. We'll get more into that on next week's episode. So enjoy Power. Pay the $5, as Dr. G said. You will not regret it. Have a great week. Enjoy NXT TakeOver, because when we talk to you again, it would have happened already. And I am Scott. He is Le Docteur. And I know you wish you were, but you're not.
Ciao.
Ciao. Congrats to Chris Adonis.
into the fire.